What's up? Welcome inside the Fantasy Guru Elite Podcast. Corey Paulson and Tyler Beaker coming to the masses today, getting ready for fantasy football in 2019. Don't forget the draft guide, fantasyguru.com, 2019 draft guide. It's live and lit right now at fantasyguru.com, taking you all the way through your championships in 2019. Got the draft guide. We got 50 pods in 50 days, and just announced the big homie, John Hansen, will be doing a weekly pod for subscribers. So good to hear that. Make sure you get involved. FantasyGuru.com draft guide 2019. Tyler, what's going on with you?
What's going on, Corey? Man, I am pumped. We're in the middle of August. Things are getting hot and heavy now. We got a ton of articles and podcasts and things going up on the site over at Fantasy Guru and over at Elite Fantasy. Tons of good content to help get you prepped for fantasy football this upcoming year. And even our chat rooms have been popping. I just spent the last hour in there answering subscribers' questions, trying to help everybody get set for their drafts.
It's
a good time. Yeah,
I need to hop in there sometime. What do they be talking about in there? Like, give me some of the some of the questions they ask.
The hot topic was how to approach Ezekiel Elliott. That's kind of a tough one now because we just got word that he's officially going to hold out now until he gets a new contract. I know you're a Dallas guy, so I'm curious to get your two cents on it. But my current thought is I'm a really safe drafter when it comes to the early rounds, and I'm probably just going to fade him entirely until we get news. Like, it's only August 6th. If your draft is coming up this weekend, I'm sorry. You got to talk to your commissioner. Push it back some weeks, guys.
I'm not worried about it. Like, you know, I know a lot of cats got burnt last year by the situation with Le'Veon Bell. I was running the cats that got burnt by the Le'Veon Bell situation. The thing with Zeke is, they have contracts on the table for Ezekiel Elliott. Like, right now, the latest contract that the Dallas Cowboys have offered is very similar to Le'Veon Bell's contract. Ezekiel Elliott's stance is that he wants a contract similar to Todd Gurley's contract. I think they're going to get it done. That's how I look at it. This is a team that's looking to make a deep playoff run. Two important pieces. The most important player on the team is Ezekiel Elliott. So I think it's going to – they'll hold out for another 2 weeks or so. By the time they leave Oxnard and get back to Frisco, you know, before maybe about a week or so before the season starts, Ezekiel Elliott to show up and everybody to be happy. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I definitely see that happening. Just needed to actually come through. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Because I said the same shit about Le'Veon Bell last year. But yep. Le'Veon Bell's situation was much different last year because he had already played a year on the franchise tag and nobody out there really liked Ben Roethlisberger. So it seemed like that relationship had came to an end. I think Zeke enjoys it in Dallas, wants to be in Dallas, but they got to get the money part taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been performing lights out since he entered the league, leads the league in rushing, completely unbelievable player, and he wants to get paid deservingly so. And that's where we get this conflict of do running backs matter and how replaceable are they. And I kind of fall on the scheme of things where I don't think that you really need to pay a top-shelf running back a ton of money, but He still has two
running backs like Ezekiel Elliott matter, though.
Yeah, I mean, they don't not matter, but I think their importance is less important than other key positions. Like, when Zeke was out this past year, the Cowboys didn't really miss a beat. It was really whenever Tyron Smith was out that they really struggled, I thought.
Yeah, but I see, you're talking about a dude that's putting up numbers like Walter Payton and Jim Brown. This is like Ezekiel Elliott's going to be a Hall of Famer if he doesn't get hurt and his career keeps on the same track it's going. Ezekiel Elliott is not like Devontae Freeman. No disrespect to Devontae Freeman, but this is going to be one of the best players in NFL history. Now, maybe as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm laying it on kind of thick, but you know what I'm saying? You get what I mean. This is not just your typical running back, in my opinion.
Yeah, his trajectory certainly looks that way. He's been phenomenal throughout the first 3 years of his season, of his career. But like you said, yeah, this is different, very different than the Le'Veon Bell situation where Zeke still has two potential years on his contract. And I think he's trying to make a fight for future running backs as well here. That's what he and Melvin Gordon are doing.
When Stephen and Jerry Jones spoke, they were under the impression, they said just about that they figured this was coming. So they were planning for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So their leverage is, okay, we don't have to make you Todd Gurley because you still got 2 years on your deal. Where he's like, I don't care. You're going to pay me as a top back because I've been the top back. So they knew they had to get Ezekiel Elliott could not play for $700,000 or whatever the number was going to be this year. This was the right year to hold out. Because my thing is, you want to hold out before they start slapping that franchise tag on you.
Yeah, because then you're really limited with what you can do. Exactly. I absolutely agree with you there.
You know what I'm saying? That franchise tag is dangerous business right there. So if I'm Zeke, I feel good about the situation that I'm in right now. And if I'm Jerry and Stephen Jones, I feel good about it too. So, yeah, the Zeke stuff has been blowing up. But right now, if you want to slide him down to, you know, the fourth running back, I'm cool with that. I don't know. I haven't had a top four pick in a while, but I would take Zeke somewhere in that top four, you know, depending on what it is. See, I don't know about you. I'm a roster diversifier. So if I have three number one picks, it's a good chance I'm going to pick a different person every time. Are you like that? Or do you go with the same guy all the time?
So I'm a big volume player when it comes – I'll just say this is for, like, best ball drafts specifically, where I play enough volume where if I just choose the same guy at each draft slot
– It can ruin you.
It'll naturally – no. I'll just say it'll naturally vary among those, like, top four running backs. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like
I
always pick CMC 1. I always pick Saquon 2. I always pick Kamara 3 and then Zeke 4, whatever the order is. But I always pick them in their respective slots, and that way it'll naturally diversify the more and more drafts I do.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so it just gets done by because of how much volume you play. That's how you go ahead and get a little bit of everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And do you have a league that you would say is your home league or your favorite league or the league you most likely want to win?
I do, yes. It's probably about a decade old. Bunch of friends from college. We're all scattered across the country now. But, yeah, we play every year, and it's good times. We're trying to figure out now how to when our draft is and how to determine the order.
Where'd you go to school at?
Drexel in Philadelphia.
Oh, Drexel. That's a good school. Right downtown Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when I drop the kids off, I be over by Drexel. So let me ask you this, right? Been going on for a decade, college buddies and stuff like that. How often do y'all do the draft live in person?
Never. We can't. We're too spread out.
What the hell is going on? You can't come to – everybody can't come to Philadelphia for a weekend and go to Chicken Pete's and do the draft?
No, we're all cheap. I guess that's what it is.
Who lives the furthest?
We've got two guys in California. Yeah, three now. Two in San Diego, two and one in San Francisco.
Okay.
It's tough to get everybody over on the East Coast where most of us are based. So we ended up doing like a Google Hangout. So we just do like a live video chat with everybody. That's our way to do it.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. Yeah, my home league, we're starting to get a little sloppy with it now. It's starting to fall off a little bit. We're at year 16 this year. And, you know, it's kind of slowing down some, you know, just the natural change in people's lives and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We're getting up in age, and our kids are actually getting up in age and stuff like that now, too. So, you know, it's becoming a little bit of a test. We used to always do it live, different city every year, when everybody would show up, and it would be the time of – it would be the best weekend of the year, you know what I'm saying? But we haven't done it that way in almost a decade now. So, you know, and then, like, members are dropping off. We can't find some of the people anymore, you know what I'm saying? So, and you know what? My homeboy – got the invite the other day, and I noticed I haven't got the invites yet, so they may have put me out the damn league. So I do not have a home league, but I do have my NFFC auction, which I'm actually going to do live this year. You know, they invited – well, not invited me back. You don't get invited. You pay. So, I found a couple extra bucks, so I decided I'm going to hop back in and give it a go. It's a 14-team NFFC auction, and it's a tough league, but I competed well last year. You know, when you got a 14-team league and you only take four teams to the playoffs, that's a hell of a league right there.
Yeah, you got to put out your best foot forward right off the draft, through the waiver wires, through trades. That's a competitive league there. What do you think about the auction format this year? I've been saying repeatedly that I think this is a great year to do it.
Oh, it was great. I don't know. I was going to start to talk about the Flex weekend, and that'll kind of lead into it. The Flex, the Fantasy League of Experts, the industry league set up by my main man, the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley. So they get together and they do a couple of drafts every year, about three drafts every year to put out there in the early part of August for people to look at and stuff like that, and kind of see what some of the – I hate to use the term experts, but some of the the guys that the touts that get paid to play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, members of the industry. You could say that.
Members of the industry. Experts, who's really an expert in this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, nobody is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? We do the best we can over here at fantasyguru.com, though. So,
absolutely.
Said, this weekend, the Flex Leagues was this weekend, and it was a good time. The first night, Friday night, they had half point. All three leagues this year were half point PPRs, right? So I was in the auction. There was a traditional snake, and then there was a super flex. So the super flex was Friday night, right there in Midtown Manhattan, the Sirius XM headquarters. Good times, you know, Jake Seeley, Adam Ronis, Scott Angle, you know, Matt Medica, Joe Piscopia, you know, a lot of the guys from the industry came up in and out for the event, you know what I'm saying? And this was the draft that they were in. And what do you think about the half point PPR and the super flex?
I love it. I'm all about the super flex position.
I'm not a super flex guy.
No. Okay. So I think quarterbacks are so replaceable that like you can just punt the position entirely and end up with Lamar Jackson as your quarterback in the 13th round this year. Like quarterback is so deep.
I love Lamar Jackson this year, and he's going. I've seen drafts him. He goes off the board as quarterback 18.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. He is going so late, and you know he has top 12 potential, top five potential, whenever he gets the throwing and the rushing down in the same week. Absolute monster ceiling, and he is the best late-round quarterback option you can go. But that's what I'm saying is I think there's just so many late-round great quarterbacks that you can get in fantasy this year that Superflex is definitely a way to try to mitigate how unimportant the position is. You know what I mean? Like in a single quarterback league where – you can just get anybody off the waiver wire and start one. It's not really a challenge with it. When you add a second quarterback, it definitely adds a little more strategy and scheme to it. And I much prefer playing in that format.
I'm not the biggest fan of it. I like the 12-team redraft. It throws me off a little bit with the quarterbacks going up and down and stuff like that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm willing to hop in one and do it. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be a Superflex National Championship. Somebody needs to create that. But the one on that we did in the flex leagues, obviously, Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson both went in the second round. Now, I was supposed to be in this one, and I had chose the 12th pick. But they moved me to the auction, right? So peep this. If I had the 12th pick in this draft, I would have went Mahomes and Watson to start my team. You think that would have been a bad idea?
Yeah, it's not a way I would normally go, just because you give up so many fantasy points at the running back and wide receiver position. And like they have a much more steep drop off, like at the top, compared to the quarterback position, which is relatively flat in scoring. There's going to be like some outliers, but that's banking on Mahomes repeating a 50 touchdown season, and I don't know if we can do that this year.
Everybody I've told that to is like, that's a crazy idea. I'm glad you.
I've seen people do it, and they've done it in mocks that I've been a part of, and I just don't like the way their squads look at the end. I think you need to get workhorse running backs. These guys that are able to catch and run the ball, guys that are on 75% of the team's snaps, targets, and carries. These are the guys that can carry your team to a victory. And pairing them with a stud wide receiver is how I prefer to start my drafts.
You know what's crazy? I remember when cats first started playing in the Superflex format, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago or so, right, when it really started to take on a little bit, especially in industry circles, right, or maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. You were getting the Superflex, right? And out of the first 12 picks, 6 of them would be quarterbacks. Now, it was 2 quarterbacks taken in the first 24 picks. So people are adjusting to how, you know, to play in Superflex format.
Yeah, it's why J.J. Zacharyson did so well with his late-round quarterback book. I mean, even just 5 years ago, people were still talking about taking, what was it, Michael Vick first overall? Was that like a Matthew Berry thing that he was going on 5 years ago?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, first overall.
Michael Vick, I had a fantasy. One of the best fantasy teams I ever had. Michael Vick is a fantasy legend. One of the best fantasy teams I ever had. Man, it was a bomb squad. I remember I had Ray Rice and Arian Foster the year they broke out. And I had another big running back at flex. I'm talking about this team was unbeatable. Like Andre Johnson was on this team. This team used to go crazy every Sunday, right? The teammate came out the gate something like 8-1. You know what I'm saying? Lost to the Michael Vick team. Then late in the season, went on another run, probably got to like, you know, to about like 13-1, something like that, played the Michael Vick team. Michael Vick went crazy. Lost both games to the Michael Vick team. Got to the playoffs, right, in the league, and then ended up playing the Michael Vick team in the second round of the playoffs. Lost all three games to the Michael Vick team, had the best team, the most points by far, and the team didn't even make the championship. Like, I almost quit that year. Like, that's how heartbroken I don't take it as seriously no more, though. That's how heartbroken I was.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, he was a cheat code out there, and I think with all these running quarterbacks that are getting in this new era of football, we're going to see a lot of guys put up comparable fantasy points. Mahomes did such a great year, had such a great year last year, but he didn't do much rushing. I can't wait till we see like Deshaun Watson actually put it all together, passing and rushing. And
he's going to need that offensive line to help him out before he's able to get that done.
Yeah, yeah.
They got to make that happen. But you know, there's plenty of quarterbacks to go around this year. So Superflex format, listen, I like it. I can dig it. It's not my favorite, but I can get behind it. I may do one. You know, if I find one to put a couple dollars on, I may do one. Before we continue with the flex leagues, what do you think about the guillotine format, where the lowest score each week gets chopped off? More or less, you lose your team.
I think it's an interesting format. I did one last year for charity, but I don't think you can bring any extra strategy into it.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You might not have your team after week one.
Right. You just kind of have to build the best team you can. And I think if you're trying to aim for like week 12, 13, 14, like for the playoffs to survive through that range, you're kind of seeing like, what is it, the forest through the trees or whatever it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not focusing on getting yourself there to begin with, and you could definitely lose out in those first couple weeks.
Yeah, that's not my thing. I mean, you know, I want to try it, but put it like this: like, I'm not gonna buy a $500 guillotine team.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be September 5th, and then, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's over. That's $500 right down the drain. You know what I'm saying? So that stinks. After the drafts and stuff, flex weekend, we all went to this spot in Manhattan called Barcade. You ever been to Barcade?
Yes, I have, actually. Yes.
You've been to the one in Manhattan before?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah, well,
yes.
Look at that. Well, what a coincidence. You know what I'm
small
saying?
Small world.
Yeah, they got the old school video games and stuff like that. You get beers, yep, and burgers. Yep. You know, whatever.
Beers. Yep, yep. Yeah, I remember that place. Yeah.
Good time. So we went out there. We hung out after the flex draft on Friday night. You know, it was Jake and Nando. You know, the homie Michael Bella from Sports Illustrated. DVR, Derek Van Riper. Van Brandon Funston, you know, a bunch of dudes from the industry, you know what I'm saying, way past their prime, having beers and talking football and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sounds like a good time, man.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. The fantasy expert community needs to get younger, though.
Yeah, we've got some youth, but yeah. A lot of those guys that you mentioned there are guys that grew up reading.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get younger. We got to get you in the flex next year so you can bring – an infusion of youth to the league. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I'm in. Count me in.
I will let Jake know. I send a message to the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, right? So then, right, so that was cool. We went, we hung out, we partied, we had a good time. Took a cab back uptown. I had one too many Brooklyn summer ales. So I was like, I'm not riding the train. I took a cab back to Manhattan, whatever. And I went home. You know what I'm saying? Did a little bit of packing. Mm-hmm. Let my stomach settle in from all the beers for a little bit. And then I was like, all right, cool. Be good to go. Then Saturday I got up and I'm like, okay, I got the auction today, right? So I got to prepare for my auction, right? So I did like some prices and some values, and I created a team that I said, okay, watch, I'm going to come out of this auction with this team. You know what I'm saying? That was my 100% goal right there. I felt pretty good about it. I was like, I'm the best auction player there is. I am going to dominate this field right here. These cats don't want to see me. So, you know, I don't know about you, right? When I'm doing a draft or I'm getting ready for a big draft, I almost feel like I'm got to get ready to play in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that or, adrenaline. Know, yep, yeah, yep, absolutely.
I had my headphones on, you know what I'm saying? Like my Beats by Dre. And like, oh, he's coming out of the tunnel. And everybody's just like, what the hell is wrong with this dude? Like, I'm just nodding my head up and down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting ready for combat. You know what I mean?
I've got a great mental picture of it. Yes.
So I'm walking down Fifth Avenue, and I'm like, yeah, y'all don't want no smoke with the fantasy executive. Fantasy executive, you know what I'm saying? And everybody's looking like, what is this man doing? So then we get down. When we get there, right, you know, the snake league, the flex snake draft was before us. So it was people in the studio already doing the draft. Now, the flex snake draft, they had Steve Gallo from the Huddle, right?
Yep.
Steve Gallo's a cool cat. He comes to the flex every year. I met his wife a couple of times. She's a real nice lady. You know what I'm saying? Then you have my man, Kenneth Cashman was in the draft. Now, for those of you who don't know, Kenneth Cashman is the dude that runs RotoWear. He's the creator of RotoWear. RotoWear is the website that makes all the dope T-shirts and stuff like that you see. You know the RotoWear guys?
I'm wearing a Never Julio RotoWear shirt right now.
Look at that. So I actually met the RotoWear dude, Kenneth Cashman. You know what I'm saying?
Very cool.
He came, he dapped him up, whatever. A cool cat. Then Chris Raybon from the Action Network was in there. So, nice. Yeah, he's a nice cat, good fantasy player. Then the wrestler, the WWE wrestler Eric Young was in the league. Well, you know, I haven't watched much wrestling in, you know, since my childhood, but Eric Young's a cool cat. I met Eric Young a couple times before. At the Flex Leagues, he always comes to hang out with Eric Young. You know, he's not going to body slam you or nothing like that. He's just mad cool. He's a good fantasy player. And then Jeff Ratcliffe was in it. You know what I'm saying? Brandon Funston was in it. Michael Bella. Jeff Hosley from Football Guys. Jamie Eisenberg was in it. Adam Azer. Brandon Murchison. And then my main man, Big Game Joe Dolan. That was the 12 right there for the snake draft. Solid 12, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, strong group.
Nothing really spectacular that I'm looking at the draft board right now. Nothing really spectacular took place. You know what I'm saying? The draft kind of went about where these type of drafts normally goes. So then it was time for the big dogs. You know what I'm saying? It was time for the ultimate, what I think, the ultimate test of fantasy will and strategy. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're not beholden to a draft spot. You have the whole board, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I think this is such a great year for auctions. And how'd you go about it?
So, you know, I had that team, right, that I had in my head.
Yep.
So when they came out, right, the first four running backs, the big four, as Joe Dolan called them, the Mount Rushmore running backs, were the first guys to go off the board, right, to be nominated. Are you familiar with – you've done an auction before?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, that's like I like auctions too. Auctions are becoming my main form of leagues right now. So if you got one that you need somebody for –
Gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. If you want, you can break up and clean up my leagues that I'm in.
Yeah. If you need me to, I'm available. I love auctions, right? So, anyway, came through the joint, whatever. So the first couple of backs all go off the board for the same exact price at $57.
$200 budget, right?
$200 budget, right? So I'm like, okay, that's cool. I wasn't in on none of the big backs anyway. Guys that the guy that I was going to spend the most for was Odell Beckham, because you know I got this love for Odell Beckham this year, right? Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I wasn't going to go over $50 for Beckham. I wasn't going to go over $50 for any player, right? So this is an auction trick of mine, right? Sometimes you got a lot of players who will try to get one of the better defenses or one of the better kickers. There's no kickers in the Flex League. Jake Seeley hates kickers. You try to get them.
Smart man.
I agree with him on that. So you try to get these kickers for like or the good defense for a dollar. So whenever somebody throws out a top kicker or a top defense for a dollar, I always go to two, because they're never going to go to three. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So my first buy was the Eagles defense for $2. Felt pretty good about that. I like the Eagles defense this year.
Like the pass rush. Yeah, I like it.
So then we go through a couple more rounds, you know what I'm saying? And people are flying off the board. So then I buy Matt Ryan for $4, you know what I'm saying? So I like Matt Ryan this year. I think him and Dirk Cutter is going to do some real good stuff, right? So.
$4 for quarterbacks, okay. So were a lot of them going for $2, $1?
I'll let you know the quarterback prices right now. Since you asked, you know what I'm saying? And we're doing the fantasy football podcast, we might as well talk about it. So Baker Mayfield went for $6. Pat Mahomes went for $17. Andrew Luck went for $10. Dak went for $4. Lamar Jackson went for $2. Drew Brees went for $3. Adonald went for $1. Kyler Murray went for $5, which is interesting. Carson Wentz went for $5. Aaron Rodgers went for $10. Deshaun Watson went for $12. Russell Wilson went for $3. What do you think?
Someone asked me in the chat right before we hopped in on this podcast, how much of their budget they should allocate toward quarterbacks.
No more than $5.
Yeah, I said no more than, like 5%. So that would be $10 total. But yeah, $5. Yeah, $5 seems absolutely right after you listen to those prices.
Yeah, you can't go all in. Or you get quarterbacks for very cheap, right? So yes. Going through the rounds and stuff like that. So then after all the running backs go off the board, you get Devontae Adams and Juju Smith-Schuster and stuff like that. So I'm just waiting for Odell Beckham to come off the board, right? But now, like, more and more people are going off the board, and I'm sitting up here, you know what I'm saying, with $194. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, there's still plenty of talent out there. You know, when we get to the Odells and the Julios, I'll make my jump, right? So, Dalvin Cook comes out. So I'm like, oh, okay, Dalvin Cook's the guy I'm in on. So I'm like, I had Dalvin Cook on my paper for $36, right? So getting Dalvin Cook, $35, $36. Going once, going twice. Somebody goes 37. I go, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get him now because I stick to my guns. Dalvin Cook goes all the way up to 39, right? So I know Dalvin Cook for me. So now I'm like, okay, now I got to start getting more and more players going off the board, right? So next nomination right after Dalvin Cook was Nick Chubb. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get Nick Chubb. So I got Nick Chubb for 35, right?
Great deal. Like that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was starting to – now I'm still sweating now because, you know, I still got over $100 left, and these cats that got in the 40s now. You know what I'm saying? So, sure enough, Odell Beckham comes out. So I said, okay, I'm not going over 50. So I hop in around 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I go to 48. Other guy goes to Nando, my boy, Nando DeFino, my guy, goes to 49. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm not going to 50. He gets Odell Beckham for $49.
Oh. I mean, that's a good deal, I think, for that Beckham. I mean, that's what currently Jeff has.
I should have went to 50. Yeah. I made a promise to myself I wasn't going to 50. So then, a little while after that, Julio comes out. So now I'm like, oh, my God, this team I put together on paper, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm not panicking yet because I noticed that there was a tier of wide receivers that was still available. And I already had Nick Chubb, and I figured I can get some RB2s late. So Julio comes out. So I hop in on Julio. 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. The other guy goes 50. So everybody's like, go 51. I didn't go 51. Julio Jones goes for 50.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
The self-discipline's getting to you.
So now, while we're in auction, I noticed that there is a tier of wide receivers that included, it was five of them, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs, Robert Woods, and Adam Thielen. I was like, I got to get three of those guys. So, everybody's looking around like, Corey might be left over, but you know, might have money. I'm not going to embarrass myself in an auction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the first one of those guys gets nominated is T.Y. Hilton. Not T.Y. Hilton. It's Keenan Allen. I get Keenan Allen for 29.
Wow.
You like that, don't you?
Yes, that's a good deal. Mm-hmm. Yo, what happened with Tyreek, if you don't mind me interjecting here?
No problem. I got to find him first, though.
Because I've heard he's been going super cheap in auction leagues, and I think that's a great way to get exposure to him.
I think, yeah, that actually makes sense. Tyreek Hill. I got the auction board up now. I should have. Sorry, y'all. I'm going for a loop. But I think you make a very good point on Tyreek Hill, though. And I want to find his exact price.
Yeah, I figured he'd go before this tier that you're talking about, but now I'm not sure.
He did go before this tier. Tyreek Hill went for 40.
40, okay, yeah, okay. That's a pretty good discount, I think, on him.
That's not bad. I would pay 40 for Tyreek Hill in my next auction.
Yep.
So then I get Keenan Allen for 29. So somebody goes, oh, David Gonos goes, goodbye. Let me tell you the participants. It was Pat Thorman from Establish the Run.
Nice. That's was, a good guy.
Yeah, Pat's a cool cat. You know what I'm saying? He's a good auctioneer, too. Yep. I sat next to him. And then it was me. Then it was Rich Rybar.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, nice, cool cat. You know what I'm saying? Then it was Dan Dobish. It was my man, Dennis Esser. It was my friend, Nando DeFino. It was Jake Seeley, Chris Meany, DVR, Derek Van Riper, Jim McCormick, and who else was in the auction? Jim McCormick, Chad Parsons from Under the Helmet, and Mike Tazzi from the Tazzi Brothers. Chad and Mike are also very good auctioneers too. They do that. They understand. They get the format pretty good, right?
Right.
I'm not a Stars and Scrubs guy. You know what I'm saying? I like to get a balanced roster, right? So after I got the $29 Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton comes up. So I'm like, I'm getting T.Y. Hilton. I get T.Y. Hilton for $35.
There you go.
Right.
So your big purchases so far are Chubb, Keenan Allen, and T.Y. Hilton.
There you go. Right. So I'm like, okay, I'm cooking now. I said I'm gonna get three of those five receivers. So Thielen went for 30. And I was in on Thielen, whatever, but I still had Diggs out there. Robert Woods went for 17. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to shortchange myself with Robert Woods. I'm going to wait for Diggs. I ended up getting Diggs for 30. Diggs and Thielen go for both 30. So now, my wide receivers are Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, and Stephon Diggs.
Dude, those are all top 12 potential wide receivers. I mean, I love that. That's why I love the auction format. You're able to do stuff like this.
No doubt. So I got those dudes. And then I made a mistake. I'm looking at my values for players, right? And I went to throw out Cam Newton. And I went to take Cam Newton for $1. And I had him valued at $4. So I said Cam Newton for $4. And I got crickets. And I'm like, damn it. Now I got Matt Ryan and Cam Newton on this team for $4. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But the flex is the trade league. We'll see what happens. I ended up rounding out the roster with Michael Gallup for $2. I got James White for 11. James White went for 11. Sony Michel went for 19.
Pretty sure James White was like the RB7 last year in PPR.
There you
go.
That's
a great buy.
I got Austin Hooper for 8. I like Austin Hooper this year. I got Tariq Cohen for 9. I got Rashad Penny for 15. What do you think about that Penny buy?
For 15. Yeah, I like it. I'm looking at Jeff Mann's auction draft book right now as you're going through these prices. And you're hitting a lot of them right on the head. Rashad Penny is in the $14 to $15 range.
Perfect. All right, cool. I got a $6 Justice Hill.
Yeah, Justice Hill, great breakout candidate. Love that too.
All right, and then I got $1 for Greg Olsen and $3 on Dallas Goedert, and that's how I ended my auction. It looked nothing like the plan I put together originally. Nothing.
Yeah, you got to be fluid in drafts. Yeah. Like you said, you were good, though, about your patience and not going over that $49 limit you set for yourself. That's impressive. Having that self-discipline is tough in auctions.
Now, here's the thing. When you do it this way, it's either going to go one or two ways. It's either going to go great or it's either going to go horrible. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So luckily, I think this one went great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could have went terribly bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could have been left. I could have had like $60-something dollars left over. And then they wouldn't have invited me back.
Yeah, it's a tough balance there, finding where it becomes the point where you're too patient in an auction draft.
Love auctions. So that's like my one of my favorite things. A couple of other guys I want to run through right quick with this. Kiki Kuti went for $9. What do you think about him this year?
Like him, great guy out of the slot. Did really well with Deshaun Watson in his rookie year last season. Exploded out of the gate. He had double-digit targets in his first game ever as a professional. I think the ceiling is sky high for this kid. Really, really like him. And you're probably getting him around like wide receiver 4 or 5 prices.
Yeah, no doubt. So, those are some of the other cats that I, you know, was in on every now and then here and there. So other than that, you know what I'm saying? After the auction draft, we went.
Oh, before you jump into that, can I ask you a question on the draft?
Sure.
What is your strategy when it comes to nominations?
Oh, that's very interesting, right?
Yeah.
I am, for years, this is the first year I didn't do this, but for years, since I've been playing in the auctions, the very first person I nominate every single year is Rob Gronkowski, because I'm never going to own Rob Gronkowski, right? It's always the value is too high. He stays beat up, whatever. And I know people always, it's going to be people that like Rob Gronkowski more than I do. So I nominate players I don't look to purchase.
I do the exact same thing. My goal there is to try to get other players to spend their money so they have less money when they have to bid against me on the players that I actually do like.
I nominated Pat Mahomes was a guy that I nominated. Zach Ertz was a guy that I nominated. Ezekiel Elliott was a guy that I nominated because people think I'm going to buy Ezekiel Elliott. You see what I'm saying? So it was a little bit of trickery right there. And then like I said, Cam Newton, that kind of backfired. I mean, and I'm a Cam Newton supporter, but you know, at this point it's like just whatever. But yeah, that's how I nominate dudes I don't look to buy. Hey, you know who I think could have a bounce back year this year?
Who's
and
that?
It's going for cheap in auctions and in drafts. Allen Robinson.
Yeah. We're thinking about that a lot because he's been – I keep seeing him available in the sixth round, and he's a great candidate to go right there. If you're – like, I think about if I'm filling out a roster, by the sixth round, I probably have a running back, three wide receivers, a tight end that I'm trying to get in the fifth round, and then Allen Robinson has a flex. I'm all about that.
No doubt. I can get behind that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your league settings and everything, but I mean, I definitely think he's in for a bounce back year. We saw during the playoffs against the Eagles, he had over 10 catches and 150 plus yards or something in a score. Great game from him. Definitely looked healthy. And that was the big issue with him was he was coming into the year in 2018, recovering from that ACL tear they had with the Jaguars. So he kind of got off to a slow start and kind of lingered with him for much of the season. I just think we see a different version of him this year.
I hope so. But you sure? Okay. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, true. You know what? You're right. Slow recovery from the injury, coming back in that first year from the injury, a new team, a new offense, whatever. Then somebody says to me, maybe Mitchell Trubisky sucks.
I'm not publicly saying this very often, but I absolutely agree with you. So PFF graded him, I think it was like 30th out of 35 qualifying quarterbacks in accuracy. And that's a huge thing for me is accuracy. Can you throw accurate balls? Because when everything else comes crumbling down around you with the pressure and everything, can you get rid of the ball on time into an accurate place where your receiver can catch the ball? I don't know if Trubisky can do that.
I worry about him.
I do too.
And a lot of Bears fans are like, oh, the Bears are going to Super Bowl this year. And, oh, well, you don't have a kicker or a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So it might be tough to go to Super Bowl.
Yeah, it seems like every other day we get Bears kicker updates just because that was such a big thing with how their season ended.
It was humongous. Double doink, you know what
Double
I'm saying?
Double doink, yep.
Advantage Philadelphia Eagles, you know what I mean? Man, Nick Foles almost pulled one out of his butt against the Saints, too. Trust me, I was rooting against him. I remember because I was like, oh, no, I cannot deal with Nick Foles win another playoff game. I was very, very nervous about that. Thank God it did not happen for me. Hey, so you do the preseason NFL thing, right?
Correct, yes.
Well, we got some preseason games this weekend. Before we get out of here, I want to ask you, I want to get your insights on a couple of these things. As you know, the preseason really gets ramped up and rocking and rolling. Just not really to handicap them, but what would you be looking for? You know what I'm saying? Don't forget, this is Tyler Beaker and Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive, Fantasy Football Elite Podcast, Draft Guide for FantasyGuru.com 2019 is out. Right now, get in. It is live and lit for 2019. My man John Hansen, Nick Guru, even going to be dropping by doing a weekly podcast for subscribers. So you want to be a part of that. All right, here we go. The Indianapolis Colts and the Buffalo Bills. The Colts are a 2.5-point favorite.
Dude, I'm not a big guy that wagers on preseason football.
I wouldn't. I don't blame you.
I did for the Hall of Fame game, and I got incredibly lucky that Broncos receiver, Juwan Winfrey, caught that pass after it was tipped up in the air, and he caught it on the second catch. That saved me with the -2.5 spread that I had there, but that's the only time I think I'll be gambling on.
What about totals? Is there anything you can look for in totals?
Totals are tough, too, because, I mean, these are all third stringers that are mostly going against each other in week one.
Yeah, I would bet the unders on all of these.
Yeah,
for Colts,
unders
Bills,
the way to go.
I want to see what the Bills do with this running game, if anybody will possibly flash this week.
Yeah, but, I mean, the guys that we want to see flash aren't probably going to play. They're not going to play Frank Gore. They're not going to play McCoy. They might play some Yeldon. They'll probably play a little bit more Devin Singletary because he's a rookie.
I'm excited to see Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I am, too. Don't get me wrong there. But I think we're going to mostly see guys that aren't going to make the roster.
No, that's true, too. The Jets and the Giants play. Eli Manning. No, let me stop. I love making fun of Eli Manning. I guess we get to see some Daniel Jones for the first time. You know, I'm excited about that, I guess. No?
Yeah, yeah. We'll see some Daniel Jones. That'll be interesting. See if we can I think it'll be fun to see a running quarterback there with the Giants. And Daniel Jones has some wheels. I mean, most people underrate that, but he's got some wheels.
All right, cool. Oh, that'll be something to look forward to, too. Atlanta plays Miami down there. The Falcons and the Dolphins don't got to travel too far. Edo Smith sucks, bro. Atlanta has to figure out what they're going to do behind Devontae Freeman, man.
Yeah, I've been a big Quadri Olison supporter, the rookie. I think it was their fifth-round pick this year. A big supporter of him for much of the offseason, but Brian Hill looked fantastic last week.
He did.
Yeah, definitely think he's going to put up a fight with Olison. Not going to go down quietly.
All right, because Devontae's that's a spot right there that, you know what I'm saying, you might be able to get some value from the Atlanta Falcon backup. The Freeman is the guy. We want him to stay healthy. But if you got to go to the backup, that backup could have value because I think the Atlanta offense is going to be good this year. Jacksonville and Baltimore, I don't know. Is there anything we want to look for here?
Trace McSorley, a Penn State quarterback that they picked up. So RG3, I think, went down for a while. Trace McSorley could be their number two guy heading into camp or heading into the regular season. I want to see how he fares. I'm a big Penn State guy, so I want to see how he does in the NFL.
No, all right, cool. That's all right. Penn State. Shout out to Penn State. And Jaguars. Okay, all right, so cool. The Patriots and the Lions. What do we got? Anything we want to see here?
Nothing really. Because I know the Lions want to run a run-heavy scheme under Bevel. It's going to be kind of a boring game in my perspective.
Yeah, it's nothing to really see there. They're not going to play carry on. And the Patriots, they're not going to play nobody either.
Yeah.
Oh, the Titans and the Eagles. Eagle fans, the game is in Philadelphia. They always make it interesting. Somebody might hop on the field or something.
That's true.
will we see much of Miles Sanders?
I don't know because they're trying to take it easy with his hamstring injury. Looks like he's looking really, really, really sharp in camp so far. But I don't know if they want to try to test him too much. I'm about to start digging into all the preseason news and notes. And I have an article actually coming out tomorrow on Wednesday around 7 p.m. Eastern overlooking the entire slate. It's 11-game slate for this Thursday. And I'll have a lot more information then on which specific players I'm targeting.
Take your time. Let me just go through it right quick here.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans. Do you think Marcus Mariota can lose his job this year?
I don't know. I've been a Mariota truther for a long time, like he and Winston. It's been tough.
It's time to get off of that, bro.
Yeah. See, like they surrounded him with so many things. Like he has a bunch of first round talent on the offensive line. He's got weapons to attack every part of the field. Fantastic running back in Derrick Henry when all else falls apart. I don't know what's going on there, man.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry about him. I would not be surprised if he gets benched at some point this year. The Washington and the Cleveland Browns play. I want to see what Haskins has.
Yeah, yeah. That I saw a recent depth chart where he got pushed down to third. I think we see a lot of him, and we see what he can do at the NFL. I mean, there aren't a lot of great receiving options for him to go to, but I'm excited to see him too.
Yeah, I'll be honest with y'all. I want to see what the kid looks like. I want to see how he plays, you know what I'm saying, as he makes his debut in the preseason. You know, I'm a big Colt McCoy supporter. I'm a Colt McCoy truther.
Okay, there are worse cards to hold.
Yeah, 45-35, baby. Let me tell you something. If Colt McCoy was put in the situations that Sam Bradford was put in, Colt McCoy would have earned that money that Sam Bradford stole from all of those teams. That's just my opinion. I'm off my soapbox now. Carolina and Chicago play this week. I don't think there's anything here.
No, we've already ruled out Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly, but, I mean, it's first week of preseason. They're not really going to play anyway.
Yeah. Houston and Green Bay. I don't think there's nothing here either.
No, just I guess it'll be interesting to see what kind of offense LaFleur does, but, I mean, it's going to be vanilla play calling for all of preseason, to be honest. I don't really think we'll see much of the play callers tip their hand.
The next up was Denver and Seattle. You know what's going to be the damn thing with the Packers? It doesn't make a difference what LaFleur calls. Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever he want to do. But Denver, Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle, I mean, their defense has been depleted over the last couple of years. I think they're going to underwhelm this year, to be honest. And hopefully that unlocks
really?
a lot more throwing for Russell Wilson.
I thought they had a chance to win the division.
Oh, I don't know about that defense, man. They have, like, absolutely no pass rush at all. And it really worries me. Like, their first-round pick is banged up. Ziggy Ansah's banged up. Their primary defensive tackle is suspended. There's a lot of issues on that defensive line, and I don't know if Bobby Wagner can mask it all.
Man, that's true. The Chargers and the Cardinals, we'll get to see Kyler Murray.
Yes, yeah, that'll be exciting to see.
That'd be fun, yeah.
Again, it should be some vanilla play calling. He's the first team quarterback, so we'll probably see a drive probably out of him.
Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh. I don't think there's nothing to see here.
No, I don't know. I'm curious if Josh Dobbs can do something. I kind of like him as like a long-term super flex dynasty stash. So I'm hoping he can like kind of come out and have a really strong preseason and hopefully get a contract somewhere else.
All right. you like it, I love it. Shout out to Josh Dobbs. Vikings and the Saints. This is like a rematch of the Minneapolis Miracle.
Yeah, yeah. we get to see Teddy play his old team. That'll be fun.
Yeah, shout out to Teddy Bridgewater. I'm a big, big Teddy Bridgewater supporter. Shout out to Northwestern High School. Shout out to Liberty City out there in Dade County. I love Teddy Bridgewater. He's a real good dude. Yeah, you're right, though. You get to see Bridgewater versus his old team. That's cool. The Bengals and the Chiefs.
Bengals and Chiefs. Oh, man.
See anything, man. I don't think it's nothing.
Nah, Bengals are just trying to get through it healthy.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, Bengals kind of stink. The Rams and the Raiders, Mr. Big Chess. Nothing. You won't see his feet out there. His feet is all cracked up. And then I guess we'll start to see some Rams running backs, huh? That obviously not Ty Gurley, but we'll start to see some Rams running backs.
Yeah, I mean, Darrell Henderson was their early round pick, their third round pick they traded out to grab. We'll also see him, Malcolm Brown. Those are the two guys I think that are locks for the roster. But I think we're mostly going to see backups, though. Like, this is how the first week of preseason normally unfolds. We'll see like a drive out of the first team. Maybe the second team plays into the rest of the first half, and the third team takes over the second half. That's generally the outline. We'll also see fourth string sprinkled in there too, depending on how deep each team is. I mean, these teams are currently now at 90 players, and they're trying to get down to 53.
Christ. Yeah.
there's a lot of film they're trying to get on guys right now. So
yeah, no doubt. So yeah, a lot of these cats are headed for practice squads and XFL and stuff like that. And then finally, how about them Cowboys? The Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers, DC, the Dallas Cowboys. I guess you want to start taking a look at some of those running backs that will be coming up behind Ezekiel. That, you know, will be, you know, sharing some carries with Ezekiel Elliott or maybe even toting the rock.
Yeah, I want to see how Mike Weber does out of Ohio State, see how he does backing up.
You know how Zeke back up in college too, right?
Yes, yep.
About that.
Yeah, small world. Because, like, really we know what we get out of Alfred Morris. It'd be nice to see what the other guys bring to the table.
Alfred Morris. Interesting. They brought in Alfred Morris, right? And everybody, oh, Alfred Morris, you know what I'm saying? And Alfred Morris stinks, bro. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Alfred Morris was good years ago. His rookie season, he was a beast, Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris is a player that broke out in the preseason, if you remember.
Yeah, that's how he got that job. Yeah, I remember that.
In the preseason. He had a big preseason. And Alvin Morris became the starting running back for the D.C. football team. The 49ers, listen, what do you think about Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think there's still a lot of questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think so too, bro.
Everyone seems so surefire on it, and I'm not. Like, he left the Patriots in 2017, played the final six games, did really well then. But the 2018 season, it wasn't spectacular. The few games that he played this past year.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. So I think there's still a lot of question marks there. And I think he's being drafted appropriately. He's being drafted around like QB 14, 15, 16, kind of in that range.
Even he is going ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. People are – they're just overlooking him. That's all I can say.
They think he's a project the general public think he's a project that can't throw the football. That's why he's being overlooked. But listen, people that got sense and know a little something, we can tell you that this offense is going to be something a little bit different. This guy can play. He's throwing the football better. I've seen some of this touch in preseason. Man, Lamar Jackson is a player that can really help win you a championship this year.
Yeah, sky is the limit for him. I'm curious to see how often they drop back to run with him, because – I don't know, if he goes for 20 plus rushing attempts every game, that could be dangerous long term.
Yeah, you don't want him to get hurt, you know what I'm saying? You know, his rushing prop last year was at 75 at one point.
Yards.
Yes. Game. That's crazy.
And he was hitting over. He probably cleared that in like the first couple games in a part-time role.
And even when he didn't clear it, it was coming in like 72, 73. Crazy. So there you go right there. That's my man Lamar Jackson. They're going to look out for that this year. Going to be interesting to see how that offense shakes up. Listen, so there you go right there. Corey and Tyler, Fantasy Football Elite Podcast, fantasyguru.com draft guide for 2019. Live and lit right now. Go in there, hop in there, get all the articles, strategies, the tools. Not only a draft guide, take you through the entire season. My main man Tyler Beaker, Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. We are out.